Well, life on a farm, I kind of laid back. Ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. My tractor sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woohoo!
Yes, that must mean that we have Ryan Jenkins coming on for our once a month check-in with our farmer up in Jay, Florida. He owns Jenkins Farms. Ryan, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man, we're doing great. Always good when I get a chance to talk to you. Again, one of the most favorite things that we do. People love this segment. They love hearing from you. People might see you out spreading, what, sand or powder or something all over the fields right now, but that's not what you're doing.
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that. I believe it was this past week on one of the local Facebook pages here. You know, there's so many new people that have moved to our communities lately. They don't know what we're doing, and that's part of the reason we do this show, right?
Right.
To try to tell them what we're doing and get them on board with what agriculture is. But they asked, what was the sand-looking stuff that farmers are applying to the fields? And I laughed so hard because I started reading the comments. You know, there were several that said they were spreading Dollar General seeds was one of them. Another one was
nice.
Another one was it was house fertilizer. You know, all these things, and it's like, yes, that's exactly. That's how I feel about it. But
my only concern is if it were in fact Dollar General seeds, then you guys aren't spreading enough of them for all the Dollar Generals we grow here locally. But you know, anyway.
Well, that's right. We don't ever get up as many as we plant.
That's right. Sure. That's there you go.
But
but what it
but
is
anyway,
actually?
So what that actually is that's lime. That is crushed limestone. That is how we adjust the pH of the soil, the acidity of the soil. And the reason that's important is, and you know, I've always got people either calling me what do I need to do for my yards or what do I need to do for my food plots, all this kind of stuff. I'm putting out the fertilizer, it's not working. Well, if the pH, you know, in a short and simple version, if the pH isn't correct, the plants can't adequately use the fertilizer. The fertilizer won't work correctly if the pH is not right, and then the plant can't take it up. So sometimes if the pH is off, you can put as much fertilizer as you want out there and it's still not going to make a difference. So there's my tidbit for the week. If your food plots aren't doing good or your yard isn't doing good, get a soil sample and see what the pH is and start from there.
And you do so, and what people may not realize, and you and I have talked about this before, but it used to be that you would just, you know, dump a bunch of lime out there and hope for the best. And then over time, it's gotten to be where now you can really sample each fairly small region of soil and then apply the appropriate amount of lime to each appropriate field or slice of a field in order to bring them all into the ideal pH range, right?
Right. So now basically we micromanage everything we do. You know, used to you'd take a 100-acre field and you drive around and get a few soil samples and mix them together in a bucket and send them off, and they would send you back what's wrong with your field and what needs to be applied to it. Now we break it up, you know, with computer and GPS, we break it up into 2.5-acre grids. So we'll have a whole bunch of 2.5-acre fields that make up a 100-acre field. We'll send that off, and then they'll send us back an actual prescription that we'll put in our machines. And it recognizes that, hey, this 2.5-acre section here needs a ton of lime to the acre. The next 2.5-acre section might only need 500 pounds. The next one might need 1,500 pounds. Next one might be 2 tons. So you see, it's adjusting how much it's putting out as you're, you know, live, as you're going through the field, so that you're putting out the exact right amount for that area.
And you're continuously, by this process, you know, normalizing and re-nourishing the soil to create its maximum productivity so that you get the best uptake of the nutrients through the plants, right?
Correct. Absolutely. So then in turn, where before we were having to put out more fertilizer because the pH wasn't just right, now mm-hmm. we're putting out even less fertilizer than we ever have because we've got that optimum pH out in the field.
And that'll cut down on, obviously, you know, the more you have to put out, that's sort of a contaminant of sorts. That's also cost input. All makes perfect sense. So it's not sand and it's not Dollar General Dollar Store seeds, so it's good to know. Also, this month is National Peanut Month, your favorite month of the year, right? Other than harvest season.
It is. Harvest season is usually, if it's a good harvest, is my favorite time of the year, yes. But, yes, it is. It's National Peanut Month. It's something that we like and we celebrate, you know. And if it's okay with you, I'd kind of like to go over a history of the peanuts. That's right. We got, about another 45 minutes, probably.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So National Peanut Month, it was born in 1974, just like me. So that's when it came into existence. And it was made to celebrate and promote peanuts. So let's talk about where did they come from. So peanuts were introduced to the Americas in the early 1700s by the Africans. And then from 1700 till about 1860 or so, they just kind of were here, you know, not much of a big deal. But then when the Civil War came along, the soldiers from the North and South both were using peanuts as protein. So that's when things really started kind of kicking off with peanuts in America. About 1895 or so, peanut butter was invented by Dr. Kellogg. So that's the first time we had peanut butter. And the reason he made that was for people who couldn't chew meat and still needed protein. Then in about 1900, that's when they said, all right, these peanuts are doing good in America. We need to invent equipment to help grow and process them. So about 1900 or so is when they started putting effort into that. Then around 1903, up at Tuskegee Institute, which is just this side of Auburn, George Washington Carver began research into peanuts. He saw how needed they were and how useful they were. And in his research, he discovered and invented over 300 uses for peanuts. So he was, you know, kind of like the father of peanuts in America. Let's see here. In his research, toward the end of his research, he realized that peanuts would be a real good rotational crop with cotton. And we all know how much cotton was grown in the South.
Yeah.
So that's when things really picked up for the peanut industry. That's when it really took off. And so then from then on, it was kind of good. But then between the 50s and 60s is when they really fine-tuned mechanized combines. You know, used to, it took a whole village of people to harvest peanuts. They would go out there and dig them with their mules and stuff. Then they would stack them on a pole and they would sit and dry, and they had stationary peanut pickers. So a whole group of men, it would take a whole bunch of men to harvest just a small amount of peanuts. Well, then in the 50s and 60s is when they invented the peanut combines that were pulled behind tractors like we see today. You know, they're mobile, it moves mm-hmm. through the field. And that's when things really took off. And then today, peanuts contribute over $4 billion to the U.S. economy each year. So we've gone from hardly anything in the 1700s to now, you know, they're a major player in the economy.
I think the only part of any of that I knew was the George Washington Carver and that he invented so many different uses. I didn't know anything about the Civil War or the Kellogg or, you know, any of the modern manufacturing technology, any of that kind of stuff. Oh, and I didn't know that they were not indigenous. They came from Africa. That's truly fascinating. Ryan Jenkins, he is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. We check in with him once a month and find out how one of the major sectors of our local economy is doing, because every year it's a different story, and that's what makes it wild. Ryan, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for teaching us, and I appreciate you putting, you know, clothes on my kids' back and food in their mouths, and they do love the peanut butter, so I appreciate that, sir.
Absolutely. As always, eat more peanuts, and y'all have a great week.